Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John as he records the life of Jesus the Christ. In John the 8th chapter, we're actually going to begin reading at verse 37 rather than 39, and I'm going to read from the New King James, beginning at verse 37 of John chapter 8. Jesus speaking says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." We'll end the reading there. Quite an accusation put forth. We live in a world around us of camouflage. We find that at times there are things around us that we don't perceive what they actually are. Those truths are hidden from us. God has created that within nature. He has created that to allow us to see His wonders in His protection of those things that He has created. But this can be an illustration of something negative, because Satan has always taken the good and turned it to the bad. And Satan has done this very thing when we think about the whole idea of looking for and finding those things that we need to find. Satan doesn't want us to always see it. Satan wants it camouflaged. He wants to create a lie for us. And in that lie, he will make it impossible for us to know the truth. And so this morning, what we're going to be talking about is finding the lies of the devil. It's a rather ominous thought, but it's a reality. With everything God has given us, Satan has produced something counter to it. And in doing so, he uses it to lure us away from whatever the truths are that God has presented for us. In the Garden of Eden, he took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and turned it and the truths about it into the lie that it was to deceive Eve. And so it is in our lives today. that sin around us, I'm going to suggest to you, is always built upon some kind of lie. Most of the time, we get wrapped up in thinking about the sin itself. And we'll touch on a few through the course of the lesson. But more importantly, what I want to do in this morning's lesson is simply emphasize to you and to me the importance of perceiving that there is a lie behind this sin that may have overtaken me. What we want to do is, first of all, begin with those problems that we face. Those sins and those shortcomings that seem to ever be before us. We think we've got a grip on it, and then it comes back and grabs at us again. And we think we've overcome it, but again, it raises its head and it bites at us. And we ask ourselves, what is it? Why am I not conquering this sin? Why is this sin ever prevalent within my life, and yet I'm not able to deal with it? I think the Apostle Paul, as we studied in Romans, certainly expressed the fact that that can be true within one's life. As he says in Romans, the 7th chapter, in verse 15, "For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate to do, that I do." It's a dilemma that arises, and I would suggest that it's because oftentimes we don't understand the lie that was holding up the sin that we were dealing with. Sometimes it's not going to be real complicated. Sometimes it's going to be complicated. And I'm not suggesting to you that we can't be victorious over sin unless we understand the lie behind each sin. I'm not at all suggesting that, but I'm suggesting to you that if there are times that you see this sin that just seems to grab hold of you repeatedly, after you repent of it, it grabs hold of you again, then maybe it is time to step back and say, okay, what is it about this that's making it so hard for me to deal with? And I would hope that you would reflect back to this lesson and say, what is the lie here? And maybe even call upon others, and we'll touch on this in a few minutes, maybe even call upon some others to say, help me to analyze this, come at this from a different direction. Tell me, what is the lie here that I'm having trouble dealing with? I think sometimes we feel helpless in the face of those temptations, and we just don't realize that indeed something, some false premise is influencing us to commit the sin that is before us. We go down the path of sin oftentimes without even realizing that we're being misled to do so. You know, and I know, that none of us, when we came out of the waters of baptism, none of us said, voila, it's done, I'm sinless and shall be forever. And I would suspect each and every one of us finds ourselves sitting in the pew and standing before you thinking, if you only knew the things I have to battle in my heart and mind. If you only knew the sins that come at me and sometimes overtake me. I recognize that the warnings are given here in the book of Hebrews. We find the Hebrew writer says in chapter 3, verse 13, But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's what we have to keep before us. That sin that seems to give me the greatest problem, there's something there that's deceitful about it. And I need to figure out sometimes the deceitfulness of that sin to be victorious over it. Paul had warned the Ephesians there in the 4th chapter. He talks to them about the idea of the corruption that is presented to us in the deceitfulness of sin. And that sense of corruption is that sense of being able to corrode. We recognize there are certain acids, there are certain chemicals that if we put on our hand, it will burn us. The same is true with sins, recognizing they have an impact on us and we need to be aware of it. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Matthew. We're going to look at a passage that we're all familiar with, but we want to take a minute and read it and look at it in Matthew, the 4th chapter. This is the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. They're in the 4th chapter of Matthew. Jesus has just been baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. Beginning at verse 1, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.'" Everything Satan says is either a lie or the truth perverted. His challenge was a challenge that was insincere. He knew him to be the Son of God. I don't think there was any doubt in Satan's mind. But he presents it with that little twist, with the intent to get at Jesus. So the lie was, "I don't think you're the Son of God. But if you are the Son of God, you can prove to me..." He wasn't proving, that is Christ, he wasn't going to prove a thing to Satan. Satan already knew it. He knew him to be the Son of God. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written,'" and even here, he takes truth and puts a twist on it to lie, to deceive, "'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Again, the devil took him up on the exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil departed from him and the angels came and ministered to him. Jesus shows us that truth is the answer to the temptations that Satan places before us. The passage that you all know that I love so dearly in 1 Corinthians 10:13, as we analyze all of that verse and the idea that God gives a way of escape, we understand this. The truth is going to always be the path to freedom from that temptation. And sometimes the truth requires knowing what the lie is. Because truth is always liberating. Truth never binds us. Not in the sense that Satan wants us to think of being bound. This wedding ring binds me. This wedding ring limits me. This wedding ring restrains me. This wedding ring limits me. And I love it. I want all of those things. Because this represents my relationship with my wife. So all those things that others could think to be such negative things are in fact joy to my life. And a billionfold over the love of God. And the truth of the Word of God is indeed what frees me from what Satan wants to deceive me to be, a bondage. When in fact it is that freedom. Jesus said in John, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We need to keep that ever before us. We recognize, as is said there in Ephesians 4:22, that indeed it is according to the growth of corruption and the deceitful lust that we are drawn away. So not only are we having to look for and finding the lies of our sins, but sometimes we need to be called upon to help others find the lie behind the sins that they're dealing with. I think that's a great challenge in our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's a great challenge because oftentimes one of my failings is going to be, you know, we talked a while ago during the class, and then Bert happened to mention it also, and we had talked about the very thing in class, and I don't think he was in the class, but the fact that we appreciate those who ask for help that we might be able to minister to them. The same is true spiritually about difficulties we have. Why don't we share with others the sins that we're having trouble dealing with? Sometimes it's shame. We don't want others to know the sin that we're grappling with. Sometimes it's pride. The very fact, I don't want you to think I have sins that I have to grapple with. I think sometimes it's just ignorance. Not realizing, hey, wait a second. I can call on others and they'll help me see the lie. Now, I'm not saying that, and I think you understand, that it's not something that you need to come to me about, but there are bound to be, there should be, people within the congregation that you're comfortable enough with to go to them privately and say, I've got this issue, and I've dealt with it, and it's bit me again. I've dealt with it, and it comes back on me again. What am I missing about it? What am I doing wrong about it? Here's the thing. I believe Satan can take any sin and get a human being to justify that sin. Can justify it. Can justify it through a lot of, I think, logical arguments and reasons to decide, well, that's not really a sin. So what is the lie? Let me tell you one of the things that Satan twists and uses for a lie, and therefore people have to come to grips with oftentimes. Love. Think about all the sins that love has justified. Right now, the big thing out there is the question of homosexuality. Homosexuality is clearly defined in both the Old and the New Testaments as sinful behavior. And yet it's swept aside because of love. We tend to get appalled by that. And I say, fine, be appalled by sin. But the basis for this, the argument for this, in the United States, my friends, was actually laid after World War II in the 50s when The idea of a divorce for any reason but adultery was unthinkable to anybody. But by the end of the 50s and going into the 60s, divorcing your spouse to find your true love was more important than the bond you had with that spouse. And the world stood back and said, it's love. To where now you can talk to individuals, and one of the arguments they'll put forth, if they're about to enter into a marriage that is not going to be a God-joined union, they'll say, God wants me to be happy. That's another perversion of what Satan does. God wants me to be happy, and I love them. You've got to see the lie. Because the definition of love does not make room for sexual immorality. A man who loves a woman who loves a man who loves a woman that is not his wife, a woman who loves a man that is not her husband, as justification for sexual immorality, has bought into Satan's lie. The lie is the word love. A pure word, a wonderful word, but Satan has the ability to turn it and work it against the will of God. In Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 7, you run well, but who hindered you from obeying the truth? The answer to it is the lies that are out there that Satan perpetrates, and we need to be willing to help others see. Helping others overcome those difficulties, I think, is an important part of who we are as children of God. It's an important part of our ministry to one another. And in some ways, my friends, it is harder than cutting down a dead tree close to the back screened-in porch. It's harder than smoking up the neighborhood with a couple of fires that people have raked up. It's harder than holding a pan while somebody who's enduring difficult treatments has to throw up. There are physical ministries that we do that are hard. But sometimes I think the harder ministry is helping people see the lie behind the sin that is grabbing at them, that's trying to take control of them. It's our responsibility to bring them the message of repentance, to see the lie. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 22 through 26, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Satan hasn't given up on us, my friends. Satan's still after us. And he's not going to be as straightforward as he might have been at other times. The more you defeat a sin, I think Satan will try to come back with that sin at another angle. I talked to a young man one time that was dealing with pornography. He had justified it because he was going to look at the pornography, but the satisfaction would come in his relationship with his wife. Satan had a lie in there for him. Others have had other sins that they have dealt with that they've been able to justify it because of something else. Listen, I know we're on the part about the individual and the need of justification of the individual, and apparently we have also jumped ahead of where I intended us to be. We need to recognize that it's important that we go around finding the lies and, when appropriate, seeking others to help us find the lie. Now we'll go on to the idea of finding the lie when converting the lost. Man, each of these can be sermons in and of themselves. Think about the lies that Satan has presented for us with regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who are engaged in sin have always sought other ways to find other truths that would allow them to continue with their sin. Our point in Romans, the first chapter, there in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, in its context, there's a mention of sexual immorality. There's ideas of idolatry. But the truth of this point is that the plan of salvation has been perverted. We could go to 1 Corinthians and note there, the Apostle Paul has made the point to them that indeed, to the world, the plan of salvation is foolish. And the overwhelming majority of the Christian world today has taken the truth of the gospel and created lies. It's difficult, it's heartbreaking at times, to bust their bubble and expose the lie. But it's necessary. It's necessary. Because as long as they believe a lie about how they got their relationship with Christ, they have no relationship with Christ. As good as they feel, as happy as they are, as enthusiastic as they are about Jesus Christ, if it's based on the lie, it's based on the lie. And all they end up doing is deceiving themselves and possibly deceiving others. We have a challenge before us that we've not talked about it a lot this time. I know we're having the Family and Friends Day in 2 weeks. But remember when we first started this, we'd set a goal like of 5 or 10 families. We were going to really zero in on and hopefully get them to come that Sunday. And I hope that you've got that in your mind, not simply to tell others, but make a concerted effort on a few of them to come and hear about the power of the blessings that God has given us. And I will tell you that during that lesson, a portion of it will be the blessing of the blood of Christ in our salvation. And it may be the only time they'll hear God's plan of salvation from a pulpit. You may have talked to them about it. You may have hinted about it. You may have had arguments around it on it, with them about it. But they're going to hear from the pulpit, from God's Word that you've shared as well, the power of the blood of Christ in those blessings. So I hope that you have a few people that you're really concentrating on and that you are praying about, and we'll seek to have them here 2 Sundays from now as we look at the power of the blessings. Being saved comes down to turning away from the error and obeying the truth. That's what He is said therein, as Paul recounts in Acts the 26th chapter, the Gentiles to whom I now send you, Jesus speaking of his mission for Paul, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The world is full of messages of sanctification in Jesus Christ that are not of and by Jesus Christ. We need to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Yeah, there are going to be people that we'll talk to that will not listen. And they'll go away from us just as joyful about their false salvation, their deceived salvation, as if we had never talked to them. But we've got to have talked to them. We've got to share with them the good news of Christ. We need to be sharing with them so that they will not be deceived by Satan. Let us make an effort to be finding the lies of Satan. And it isn't for good in the sense of, oh, here's a lie of Satan, I shall imbibe in it. It is, here is a lie of Satan, and now I know what's at the root of that sin that I keep falling for. I don't believe the lie, and therefore the sin is the sin, and it's nothing but a sin, and it's the lie of Satan that was making me think it was something appealing. Satan desires to bewitch us as he did Eve. He desires to entangle us. He desires to ensnare us. He desires that we crucify again the Son of God afresh. And there's not a child of God, if I started at the front row, no one would say, yes, I want to crucify the Christ again. And yet, when we willfully sin, that's what we're doing. Why? The lie. The lie behind the sin that we committed. Let us be aware. Let us have our eyes open. Let us seek the truths that we might indeed be free. Let us enjoy that freedom in the bonds of Christ, that our lives might have joy and purpose in them as we defeat Satan and look for the truth.